You are listening to Overcomers Church International Podcast. Here at OCI, we are dedicated to our vision of building strong people and building strong churches. From wherever you are listening, we hope that this message leaves you equipped and encouraged.
So today, I am going to be talking about, I'm just going to move this a little bit here. I'm going to be talking about purely worshiping God. And so I want to go back to like what is worship. And worship is simply just exalting God to the highest place in our hearts and our lives and our minds all the time. And so worship isn't just what we come in here and do on Sunday mornings, but it's actually a lifestyle that we live for the Lord. So whenever I say worship in this, that is what I'm talking about. And this is a part of worship, what we do together, what we do whenever we come together to worship the Lord and exalt the Lord. It's powerful, it's great, but worship is just exalting the Lord all the time in our lives. Amen? So it's a good thing. So I believe that there is a purity coming to people, and I'm going to get in more to this today, but there's a purity coming to people, and there's a purity coming to the church of the Lord. And so we've like begun to see some things come out from different places. I'm not going to name names or whatever, but from different places that are not right and not good, different houses and different churches and whatever, that they're actually exalting things that aren't good or worshiping things that aren't good. And in all this, like, don't be discouraged in all of it, because we're going to begin to see more and more of this happen as the day approaches that the Lord's coming. But the thing is that God is good all the time. He's our source of life, not other people, not a church, not anything. He's our source of life. And so we're going to begin, though, to see things come out in places, because there's things that people are doing and whatever that are hidden on the inside that we may not have seen, but that are going to start to come to pass. And so, and the Lord is calling us. He's saying, will you be my people in this day and age that will worship me rightly and will have purity in your hearts and in your lives and in your souls for me? Will you be my people? And so I say, yes, Lord, I want to be your people. I want to be your person who will worship you rightly and purely and truly. And so there's two main different things that I want to talk about today, and that's the idolatry in the church. Not saying in this house we worship and we honor the Lord rightly and greatly, as you've seen this morning, that we just love to worship the Lord and give all the glory to God. But there's things that are idolatry that are in the church, and there's also idolatry in people's hearts and people's lives. And the Lord's saying, will you be the people who don't worship other things, who don't come into my house and worship other things, but worship me? And so I want to be the people, the person, the place that worships the Lord rightly and purely. So in 2 Chronicles, because this is what the Lord is seeking in this day and age. You see, he's seeking a people who will worship him rightly. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, oh, they got it. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And so the Lord is seeking a people who he can show himself strong through, who he can show himself rightly through. And to do that, we have to be willing to say, Lord, come in and purify the things that need purified in me. Come in and burn off the things that need burnt. Come in and take care of the things that you're saying aren't right. Because we all got stuff. We all have things. But it actually is the posture of our heart to say, Lord, I want you to come in and change this. That changes us. So we will be the people in the church who worship Jesus rightly and Jesus purely. Because that's what we're called to. That's what he calls us to. So here's where I'm going to draw for a second. There we go. So I'm going to talk about the Lord's temple for a minute. So in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 16, it talks about how the Lord's temple, and several other places in the Word, but it talks about how the Lord's temple was supposed to be laid out. And so it was split into three parts. You had the outer court. Thing you had, and this isn't exactly how it would have looked, but then you had the inner court, then you had the Holy of Holies. Just feel you all staring at me. So this is how the Lord's temple was laid out. And so the outer court was the place where people could come and they could be whatever in the Lord's house. But the inner court is the place where, and I just wrote this down here, I'm not really sure why I didn't write it in that box, but this is for this box here. And so the inner court was for where the priests would go in and they would offer up sacrifices and just whatever, all these things unto the Lord. So this was a holy place where the Lord said, I want my priests, the people I've set apart, to come in and to enter in and to offer up sacrifices and to glorify me and to worship me. And so then this place was the Holy of Holies. And so in this place, a priest would enter in once a year to atone for the sins of the people for that year. And so, and they would actually tie a rope to this, to the high priest's foot and would send him in. And if he wasn't right and he wasn't pure, he would actually die. And then they would actually pull him out with the rope. And so in that, I'm like, okay, Lord, super serious about your presence. And everything in the Old Testament is true to this day. We just don't fall under the judgment of God because we live under grace because of what Jesus did for us. So, but the Lord is just as serious about his house now as he was then. And whenever somebody would come in and they weren't right, they would actually die. And so we have this picture, and it's a right picture of good God, a great God who loves us and cares about us. And that is 100% true, 100%. But the Lord also knows that his presence is holy and his house is supposed to be holy. And this is the thing that he's made for himself to be worshiped in. So now, I wish I wouldn't have put the lid back on that. It's so hard to get off. Now this I was reading one day or whatever and just seeing this and then probably heard several people talk about this now, but basically our outer court, because we know that Jesus came so that we could have a relationship with God. And so that we didn't have to go into a certain place. The Lord said in John 4:20-something, he said that there's coming a time and a season when you won't have to worship me on this mountain or in a temple, but you can worship me anywhere, is what he was telling the woman at the well. And so our outer court is the body. So it talks about in the New Testament that we are the temple of the Lord, sanctified and set apart by the blood of Jesus. And so this, the outer court, is the body. It's the thing that everyone sees. It's the thing that people can interact with and whatever. Our inner court is our soul. And I love that Dad's book just came out today. I literally didn't even know it was going to be out until I walked in the door this morning. So, but our inner court is our soul, and our soul is our mind, our will, emotions, and conscience. And so this is the place where we think, where we live, where we whatever, do all the things. This is the place where we make decisions. This is the place where we whatever. This is our spirit. If you can't read this, it's okay. But this is our spirit. This is the place that the Lord has said, this is a holy place. Not made with hands of man, not made in this world, but this is the place that I have sanctified and I have set apart. And this is the place that I call you to. And so our goal for our entire life is to take our spirit and let it invade our soul, and then it invades our body as well. And so in Ezekiel 8, this is where we're going to spend most of our time. You know, sometimes you read the Old Testament and it seems like there's a lot of condemnation and judgment and whatever from the Lord. And there was a pretty fair amount of that because they weren't set apart by the blood of Jesus. We live under grace. Just keep coming back to that because we do live under grace. We don't live under the judgment of God in this time. But in Ezekiel 8, it says, "And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there." And just as we're reading this, I was just reading this with the Lord, and I was like, I just could just feel the heart of the Lord in this. And that his heart was breaking. Because what we're about to read is basically abominations that the children of Israel were doing in the Lord's house. And so I could just feel the heart of the Lord breaking because he had set apart this people, the Israelites, for himself, and they weren't worshiping him. And they were actually coming into his house and worshiping other things. So in Ezekiel 8, notice where Ezekiel is sitting. Ezekiel was called to Israel by God to tell them the things that the Lord was saying to tell them, the things that were wrong in Israel. And so he was sitting in verse 1, he was sitting in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, the leaders of Judah, the leaders of Israel, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire from the appearance of his waist and downward, fire and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court. So Ezekiel in the natural was sitting with the elders of Judah. He was sitting with the leaders of Israel. And then in the spirit, the Lord took him into the inner court of the temple. So this was the place that was not seen by everyone. This was the place that was only seen by the priests. And so then he said to me, "Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north." So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the altar gate, was the image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, "Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary." And so I just see like just the heart of the Lord just breaking as he's showing Ezekiel this. And I'm not saying that the Lord's unstable or anything, but the Lord has emotions as well, and not that we can break his heart, that's probably not the right word, but we can hurt his heart because he wants relationship with us. We can actually hurt and grieve the heart of God. And so he was saying, "Are the Israelites doing this thing to make me go far away from my sanctuary?" This was the house that the Lord had built for himself. This is the temple that the Lord had built. And he was saying to Ezekiel, "Are they doing these things to try to make me go far away from my sanctuary?" Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. Verse 7, "So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, dig into the wall.' And when I dug into the wall, there was a door." So the picture was that there was, he was in the inner court, but then the Lord was saying, "Look to a wall," and then he dug through a wall and there was a door. And then he's seeing greater abominations in there. So Ezekiel had to actually dig through a wall to see the things that the Lord was showing him. So there are things obviously not seen by other people that the Israelites were trying to hide, Jerusalem was trying to hide, but the Lord was wanting to reveal to Ezekiel. And so in verse 9, he says, "Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there." So I went in and saw, and there are every sort of creeping thing, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols, for they say, 'The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land.'" And then he said to me, "Turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing." So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, and you will see greater abominations than these." Verse 16, so he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And there at the door of the temple, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. So they were in the inner court of the Lord's house in this hidden place, and they were worshiping with their backs turned toward the presence of, away from the presence of God, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. What, like, more thing that would grieve the Spirit of God than for them to be in his court? See, all the stuff that the Lord did for Israel, in Ezekiel 16, it talks about the Lord bringing up Israel as a people, that he was with them from whenever they were babies to the time whenever they grew up and they were under his wings, and he covered them and shadowed them and called them his people. This is why the Lord cared so much, because they were his people. And they were in the inner court of the Lord's house with their backs turned away from him, worshiping something else, like he wasn't even there. And he says in verse 17, and he said to me, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing that the house of Judah commit the abominations which they commit here?" Is it a trivial thing that they do this? Like it had just become like nothing to the house of Israel to do these things in the Lord's house. And so the Lord is saying to us, is there things in you that you're worshiping? Like the Lord's not even there. And conscious or unconscious of what Israel was doing, they weren't seeking the Lord for what they should be doing. And they actually say in verse 12, it says, "The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land." The Lord didn't forsake them. They forsook the Lord. And they stopped looking to him and stopped asking him and stopped communing him, stopped being in the inner court where it was supposed to be a holy place with the Lord, stopped communing him and started worshiping other things. So the Lord is saying to you, are there things in you? And we all have things. And I know worshiping is an extreme thing, but it's exalting anything in our lives. That's what worship is. So how often are we worshiping other things in our inner court where the Lord has said, "I have set this place apart for me," where it's supposed to be a communing place from me to you, from my spirit into your soul? The Lord's saying, "I don't want you to worship other things. Not because I want to bring condemnation against you, but because I care and because I love you." And in this day and age when, like, we just see the signs of the times that the Lord is coming, don't know the day or the hour, but he's coming. And the Lord is saying that I want there to be a purity in my people, that everything that would be in the inner court would be made right and would be made whole and would be purified and set apart for me. And so this is why I say that there's things that I believe that are going to come out that we'll see in other churches that are hidden behind a wall through a door, that they're actually worshiping and doing other things. In this house, we worship the Lord. And I will be the people and I will be the person that worships the Lord rightly. And even though I don't do everything perfectly and I don't do everything rightly, I will worship the Lord. And I will honor him and I will let him come into my soul and my inner court and purify the things that he wants to purify. Because he cares about me and because he loves me, I will let him come in and invade that space. The Lord tore the veil between the Holy of Holies and the inner court. That's where the Lord tore the veil. So we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus and set apart for him. And I will not be a part of driving out the presence of God from me. I won't be a part of it, because what Israel was doing, and actually later on in this chapter, it talks about, actually in chapter 9, that like they did these things and then the Lord left from the threshold. And so we can't actually drive out the presence of God, but we can do things to make him not want to leave, but have to leave from our place that's supposed to be an intimate place with him. So I will not be a part of driving him out of my inner court because I'm too prideful or because I'm too unwilling to say, Lord, what are the things that you're wanting to purify? What are the things that I'm exalting above you? What are the things that I'm not seeing? What are the things that I need to see? Lord, show me what's behind the hidden walls inside of me. Lord, show me what you want to make right. Show me what you want to make whole, and show me what you want to purify. Because I will not be a part of driving you out from my house. So the Lord's saying, will you do this? Will you be a part of this? And here's the amazing thing in Zechariah 4:6. Let me know if you get it pulled up for me. It says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We don't have to do this thing by ourselves because of what Jesus did. It's not by our might or by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that we worship him rightly. We actually can't worship God how he's supposed to be worshiped by ourselves. It has to be by his Spirit. And we get to worship him by his Spirit. So in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 1, says, then indeed the first covenant had ordinances of divine service, the earthly sanctuary, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid in all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things have been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he had offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. So the Lord did all of that. There's a lot of things that happened in the Old Testament to show us now that we can't do it without Jesus. The way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest for them. In verse 9, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Verse 11, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is, not of this creation, not with the blood of calves, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. We don't have to work. We don't have to strive. All we have to do is say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing for you to come into this place and then invade it and make it be what you want it to be. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the appearing of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I feel like that's worth a shout. Thank you, Jesus. Christ came and died to be the mediator for our sins. His blood covers it all. His blood covers every part. Lord, I want to be the person who says, come and have it all. And come and do whatever you want to in me. In John 4:22. Man, it's so powerful. It's so good. We get to worship the Lord rightly. We get to do it. We get to walk in all of his promises. We get to do it. It's not something we have to do, but we get to do it. And the thing that from all eternity until now, and that will be true forever, is that the Lord wants relationship. He wants us. He did all of this just so he could have you. There's nothing more worthy or more holy than the presence of God. And the Lord came Jesus came just so we could have it. In John 4:22. Says, actually, let's go to 21. It says, in verse 21, it says, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. We live in that hour. We live in that time right now. You worship what you do not know. We worship, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And all Jesus was saying there is that you don't have relationship with who you worship. You don't have a relationship with Jesus because she was Samaritan. And the only people that the Lord had set apart for himself in that time were the Israelites. Jesus came to be the mediator for all, though. But the hour is coming, in verse 23, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how do we worship the Lord rightly? We worship him by his spirit, and we know him. We worship him for the truth of who he is, for the truth of who he says he is. That's how we worship him rightly, and that's how we worship him purely. We don't have to do any of this by ourselves. We get to do it with the Lord. And whenever the thing that the Israelites did that we were reading in Ezekiel is they stop communing with the Lord. And it had become about works and about doing things, and then they went so far as to worship other idols in the house of God. And so more than anything this morning, I don't want to be the person. I don't want you to be the person. I don't want this to be the house, and it will not be, because we worship the Lord for who he is. But I don't ever want it to come to the place to where there's things that we're not seeing that we're exalting above the Lord. There shouldn't be anything that we exalt above the Lord. He's the holiest of all, the highest of all, the high priest forever. I'm going to read one more passage here. And Revelation has got some crazy things in it. And we're going to look at Revelation 4. But the thing that I see through Revelation is the people, is people, and is the church, and is the world coming to the place of purity and the place of just worshiping the Lord. And that's the end result of all of it. And so, in Revelation 4 and 1, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on those thrones sat 24 elders, sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the thrones proceeded lightnings, thunderings of voices, seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And there's so much in this, but I'm getting to what I want to get to. In verse 6, it says, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne, all around the throne, were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like the lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne, and worship him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist, and they were created.'" This is what heaven looks like. Is us laying down our crowns. Is us giving glory to God, giving honor and praise to God. That's what we're called to do. And more than that, that's what I want to do. because he came just for me, just so I would be right with him. So there's nothing more that makes me want to give everything I am to him. And so in all of this, I just encourage you guys just to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, what are the things that you're wanting to purify in me? Lord, what are the things where I'm exalting something else? Lord, what are the hidden things that I'm not seeing that other people don't see that's exalting something else and not you? Lord, I don't want to be with my back turned towards your presence like you're not even there worshiping something else. Lord, I want to be on my face before you, worshiping you. So if you guys just want to stand. And so I just declare this over this house and over this place and over myself. And I hope you declare this over yourself, is that we will be the people of God who create a space for God to be purely worshiped in ourselves. And in this house, idolatry has no place. In this house, and it has no place in me. I will be the people of God, the person of God, who will create a space for God to be purely worshiped in myself and in this house. Idolatry has no place in this house, and it has no place in me. Lord, the worship of other things has no place in this house, and it has no place in me. I will not look to the east and worship anything else, but I will look to your throne room and I will fall down on my face before you. Lord, come in and purify me and purify us of the things that aren't of you. Lord, come and show us the things that we're doing that aren't right. Lord, come and show us the things that you want to set right. Lord, we give you permission to enter our inner courts. Lord, we give you permission to invade our space and invade our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Just tell the Lord how worthy he is. Just give that to him right now. Lord, you're worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, we join in with the elders and we join in with the creatures saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Thank you, Jesus, that by your will you created everything and by your will they exist. By your will I exist. And so, Lord, I live to give glory and honor and praise to you. Lord, I will not let that one thing that I'm exalting keep me tethered. I won't let the one thing keep me held back. But I'll cut it off so that you can take me where you want to go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So good, God. So worthy, Father. Well, amen. You know, I just hope you guys leave from this place and leave from this space and just go ask the Lord, Lord, what are you wanting to purify in me? What is holding me back? What is keeping me tethered? What are the things that you want to cut loose? What are the things that I can do to worship you rightly? Because it's what I'm going to be doing for all eternity. It's not a matter of heaven or hell, because if you have Jesus, then you're saved and you're going to heaven. But it is a matter of having relationship with your Creator.
If God is changing your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. If you would like to give, or would like more information on how we are making a difference, visit OvercomersChurchInternational.com.